Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. This is another wonderful opportunity that our Father has given to us to be able to come together with other believers, other saints, to study the Word. And what a privilege, what a blessing. I trust God that you're doing well, you and your loved ones. You are enjoying the goodness of the Lord. Wherever you are joining us from, within the United States or around the world, thank you. Thank you for making it a date. It's an amazing blessing to know that there are so many other people around the world in the kingdom of God that are fired up about his word and that are hungry to learn, amen, and to grow. Glory to God. Let's share a word of prayer as we get into tonight's Bible study. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your loving kindness. We give you all the glory and all the praise that is due to your name alone. Thank you for everything that you're doing for us, everything you've done for us in this season. Thank you for continually upholding us with your right hand of righteousness. We're truly blessed. We're truly favored as your children, as your people. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's joining us tonight and everyone that will receive this teaching at a later time. I pray your blessings upon them and their families. I ask tonight, precious Holy Spirit, that you will teach us. You are the divine master, the great teacher. You teach us the word of God. Feed us with truth. Illuminate our minds, our spirits. Help us to access divine truths tonight. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome and thank you so much again for joining us tonight. We are studying together the thing that we have titled Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. Let's go back together to Isaiah chapter 55 and from verse 8. The word of God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Glory to God. When we align our thinking to the word of God and begin to think like God, and when we allow our thoughts and our words to line up with God's thoughts, God's words, when we allow our ways to line up with God's ways, our lives become elevated. Our lives rise. Our lives take up a higher dimension. Glory to God. There is something supernatural that God has prepared for every one of his children. But a lot of times, the mind is the obstacle. The mind to believe, the mind to possess, the mind to lay hold on exactly what God said. And if we can renew our minds, if we can be transformed in our minds, like the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses, especially verse 2, Hallelujah. If we refuse to be conformed to the world and we commit to being transformed by the renewing of our minds, then we will be able to experience or prove, as the New Testament says, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, from verse 1, actually, let's read that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God means to experience it, means to have it become a reality, to taste it, like the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. The first step to enjoying the good life that the Lord has prepared for every one of his children is to renew our minds, to renovate our minds, and to renew our thinking and allow our thinking to be aligned with the thoughts and the words of God. And tonight, I really would like us to wrap up this first step that we have been discussing for the last 3 weeks, that I have described as embracing the truth of the Word of God. We have said every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth of God's Word. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth of God's Word. Hallelujah. God is a God of truth. God is the embodiment of truth. He is the origin of truth. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I would ask my Father, and he would give to you the Comforter. And he described him as the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. God is a God of truth. He is the embodiment of truth. Hallelujah. Everything that God has spoken, everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God is truth. We can take the word of God to the bank and we will find it to be so. God has never lied to us. My friends, this has got to be an established revelation. This is the revelation of the truth of the Word of God. God has never lied to us. In fact, it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Everything God ever said to us is true. It was true back then, it is true today, and it will always, forever be true. When the Lord promised he was going to prepare for us a place, and he's coming back to take us to that place, he didn't lie to us. When the Lord promised, he has made a covenant, an everlasting covenant with us. This covenant, like the covenant he made with Abraham, which he swore by an oath, that covenant is active today, has always been active since he made it, and it will forever be active in our lives. God has never lied to us. It is impossible for God to lie. As it is impossible for Satan to tell the truth, it is impossible for God to lie. Our Father is the Father of all truth, is the origin of all truth. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. We could read it from verse 13 all the way down, but I don't think I want to do that tonight. I want to just go straight verse 17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Hallelujah. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. God has never lied to us. It is impossible for God to lie. Every word that God speaks is truth. Everything in the word of God is truth. That's why the process of renovating our minds begins from the commitment to embrace every truth from the word of God. It is impossible for God to lie. Bible says in Numbers chapter 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Everything that God says is true. When we embrace the truth of the word of God, the renovation of our mind begins. Because our mind was previously exposed to the corruption of the world. Our mind was previously susceptible and vulnerable to deception. Hallelujah. But when we embrace the truth of the word of God, the truth of the word of God creates a certain environment and a certain condition around our mind that makes it begin to align with the thoughts of God. When we embrace, when we buy into the truth of the word of God, we begin to think like God. We begin to think like God. Look at some of the scriptures we have read lately. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4. We can control our thoughts. We can determine the kind of thoughts that we think. We can determine the thoughts that we take. It's not every thought that is swirling around our mind that we should possess or we should take hold of. Right? Jesus said, take no thought for what you shall eat, what you shall drink. We've studied this. So we can determine the thoughts we take, and we can determine the thoughts we reject. Every thought that suggests that the word of God is not true, or every thought that suggests that the word of God will change, every thought that suggests that something that we are experiencing that is contradicted by the word of God or contradicting the word of God is a real experience or is reality, is falsehood. It's falsehood. Everything Satan says to us, the Bible calls him the father of lies, that it is impossible for Satan to speak the truth. That's in John chapter 8. We have read this scripture before too, but it's worth repeating again, though I'm not going to spend any time on it, but it's worth reading it again. Everything that comes out of the mouth of Satan is a lie, right? This is what Jesus said to the religious people in John chapter 8, verses 43 and 44. 43 and 44. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? They were hearing it, but they couldn't receive it. They were hearing him say it, but they couldn't receive it. Why? Because their minds were preconditioned by the deception, the lies of the enemy. When the lies of Satan take hold in a mind, it becomes impossible for that mind to hear the truth of the word of God. Amen. When the lies and the deception of Satan becomes the thing that conditions a mind, the mind of a believer, then that believer cannot receive the truth of the Word of God. They can hear it with their physical ears. That's how so many people hear the Word of God with their physical ears, but it does not register. So their minds remain the same because their minds have been preconditioned by the lies and the deception from Satan. Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 43, speaking to the religious leaders, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. They could hear it physically, but they couldn't hear it in their spirit or in their mind. Their minds were blocked off. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. The Satan cannot. He has no ability to speak the truth. Satan cannot. He cannot, no matter how hard he tries. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. If Satan says one thing to you, and that thing, of course, will be negative, you ought to start rejoicing because you know he is lying. Hallelujah. He said to them, he abode not in the truth from the beginning because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is a liar and the father of it. And what does Satan do? He takes his lies and channels those lies through the world and channels those lies through unregenerated, unrenewed, unrenovated minds of believers who have not gotten into this process. He channels his lies through those different vessels, those different avenues, and his objective is to spread the lies. That's why the world is full of lies today. The world is full of deception. And this is true, actually. This is true. Everyone you know who traffics in lies, I don't care what label people have put on them. They may be called a spiritual leader. They may be called a minister, a pastor. They may even be called God's chosen ones or whatever it is. Anyone you know who traffics in lies is working for Satan. The Bible says there is no way he has nothing to do with truth. Truth and Satan are completely opposed to one another. Satan can never speak the truth. He can never traffic in truth. And so everyone you know who speaks lies, everyone you know who traffics in lies is not working for God, they are working for Satan. He's not working with God, he's working with Satan. Because Satan is a liar. Jesus, we just read that in John 8, 44. Satan is a liar and he's the father of it. He's the father of lies. Amen. But our God is the embodiment of truth. Jesus said in John chapter 17, thy word is truth. 17:17, thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Hallelujah. Thy word, he was praying for the church. He was praying for you and for me. And he said unto the Father, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them, that is, wash them. This process of renovating our minds happens in two ways. We have already learned this. We've said this in almost every service recently. It happens by the washing of regeneration by the water of the Word of God, and it happens by the transformation work or by the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now, the washing of regeneration by the Word of God happens through the truth. It is through the truth. It is through the truth that God washes us. You saw that in the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. Sanctify them or wash them or cleanse them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. That's why the psalmist, he said, God loves truth in the inward parts. God loves, Psalm 51, hallelujah. God loves truth. He was speaking. God loves truth. Psalm 51, verses 6 and 7. God loves truth in the inward part. And it is truth. It is through the truth of the word of God that we are sanctified. Hallelujah. Psalms 51, verses 6 and 7. He loves, you desire truth in the inward parts. You desire truth in the inward parts. Psalm 51, verses 6 and 7. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. How does the Lord wash us? By the revelation of the truth. The washing of regeneration that happens by the word of God to renovate, help us renovate our minds, happens by the truth of the word of God. We are washed by the truth. That's why Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them or cleanse them or wash them by your truth. Your word is truth. That is why the establishing of the truth in the life of a believer is key for the renovation of the mind. The establishing of truth. Not just the establishing of truth, but the establishing of the word of truth. The word of truth. Hallelujah. The word of truth. Buying into the word of truth. Embracing fully the word of truth. Let's read that scripture, Psalm 51, verses 6 and 7, in the Amplified Version. It says, behold, you desire truth in the inner man, in the inner being. Make me therefore to know wisdom in my inmost heart. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Ceremonially wash me, and I shall in reality be whiter than snow. The way the Lord washes us from the filth of the world, the way the Lord helps us to renovate our minds, is through the washing of regeneration by the water of the truth of the word of God. Wash me, he said. Cleanse me. So when you and I commit to the truth, when we determine to allow only the truth to envelope our mind, to form our thoughts, our minds will supernaturally become renovated. Every area of your life where you buy into the truth of the word of God, your mind is supernaturally renovated. Let's take your physical well-being. When you renovate your mind to begin to embrace what God said about his plans for your physical well-being. The Bible says, by his stripes, we have been healed. By his stripes, he says, you were healed. Not you will be, but you were healed. You are already healed. By his stripes, he says, the chastisement of our peace was placed upon him. When we embrace that as the truth, well, sometimes our bodies may be attacked by symptoms of some sickness or some disease or something. We go do our tests or checkups and this negative reports and whatever, because our hearts are already established. Remember, it is the truth that establishes our heart. Like Paul said, like Peter said to them in 2 Peter verse 1 and 12, he says, even though you are, I will always remind you of these things. I will continue to bring these things to your attention, even though you are established in the present truth. 2 Peter 1:12. It is the truth that establishes our mind. When we are committed to the truth, 2 Peter 1:12, it says, therefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, even though you know them and you are established in the present truth. It is the truth that establishes the heart. So when your heart and your mind are established in the promise of God that you are the healed of the Lord, by his stripes you were healed, the chastisement of your peace was placed upon him. Well, something can come up where symptoms are registered, or you do a test and they say something is not right or whatever. But because your mind and your heart are established in the truth of the word of God, you can immediately brush it off. And now I'm the healed of the Lord. Why? Your mind is already established. Is first of all surrounded. It's enveloped. Is saturated in the word. And then it is established in the word. And so when a lie comes, it's not the doctor who is lying. They saw the test, that the result of the test is what they saw, is a fact what they saw. And that's what they communicated. It's nothing wrong with the doctor. The doctor was not trying to make us feel bad. The doctor was not trying to put something on us. Like people say, don't put that on me. No. That's the doctor is just doing his job or her job. Amen. But our own job is to filter that, what they said, filter it through the truth of the word of God. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm prospered. I'm healed from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sickness has no, he has no access to my physical body. The shalom of God is mine. I'm healed mentally, physically, supernaturally. I'm healed. I'm well. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Well, the word of God, the word of truth that establishes our heart, immediately rejects the thought of that sickness. It doesn't mean we don't take the report and begin to do what they recommended and what they directed. But it means immediately that battle is won. It's a fight. Satan, the father of lies, is trying to put something upon us. And he's trying to contradict the promise of God and go against the promise of God concerning our well-being. But because our minds are established in the truth of the word of God, we shake it off. So the first step to renovating the mind is embracing the revelation of the truth of the word of God. The Paul said to them, to the Philippian church, we've read this a couple of weeks in a row now. Think whatsoever things are true. Think on these things. So we determine, I'm going to think on what is true. Let's go back to the analogy of the promise of God for our well-being, physical well-being, versus what the test showed in the clinic. Right? Well, I take the thought of the truth of the word of God. I do not take the thought of that sickness. It's not like I'm living in denial that there's something going on in my body that needs to be sorted out. No, that's not what it is. That's not what you do. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for supernatural health that we enjoy. That's if you have something going on in your body, it's not that you deny that reality, but you superimpose the reality of the truth of the Word of God. And so every time you take the thought that says, I'm the healed of the Lord, whatever is going on, this is temporary. Whatever is happening in this physical body, that whatever the test showed, that's temporary. The real reality is, I'm the healed of the Lord. Amen. We embrace the truth fully. He said then, Philippians 4, "And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," and then "whatsoever things are honest," and he goes on and on, "think on these things." Think on these things. We must take the thought of the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm prosperous. You may have nothing in your bank account. There might be bills, a stack of bills that need to be paid. You have no idea where you are going to get the money to pay. But because you know the truth of the Word of God, he said, he says, "My God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ." Well, praise God, I'm prosperous. Praise God, I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm not broke, I'm not poor, I'm not behind. I'm the blessed of the Lord. Why? Because the truth of the Word of God has established my thinking and my mind in line with the thoughts of God. So my life is elevated. And so temporarily, it might seem like, yeah, I need some sort of a breakthrough, some turnaround to make this situation align. But the first miracle is the miracle of my thoughts, that my mind and my heart is established in the Word of God. I'm blessed. He said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of good. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." You may hear Satan whispering to you, "Oh, you are going down. Oh, you will be evicted. Oh, you are going to lose everything you have. Oh, you are not going to make it. Oh, this, oh, that is just going to keep running his mouth." But you and I have read in the Word of God, Jesus said, he is the father of lies. He is a liar and the father of lies. So what he says is inconsequential. And yet there's so many believers, when they hear the voice of Satan, they start panicking. And that's why the Bible says, God has not given to us the spirit of fear. He has not given to us the spirit of anxiety, but he's given to us love, power, and a sound mind. Amen. Glory to God. That's a renewed mind. That's the mind of Christ. When we take the mind of Christ, it's a mind that is established in the truth of the Word of God. Glory to God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, that we should take on the armor of the belt of truth. We should surround our loins. Glory to God. Glory to God. We should be prepared in the truth. And in Ephesians 6:13. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:13. "Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day," having done all to stand. 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And then, of course, in 1 Peter, glory to God, in 1 Peter 1:13, it says, "Gird up the loins of your mind." How do you do that? With the truth of the Word of God. Be ready. Be prepared. Amen. Be resolute. Be resolved. Be confident. Hallelujah. Have a posture of readiness. No matter what is going on, no matter what is coming, no matter what is happening, no matter what they are saying, guard up the loins of your mind. Have a posture of readiness. Be ready. By the truth of the Word of God, let your mind be established in the truth of the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:13. Hallelujah. Glory to God. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. Make up your mind. That's what he's saying. By the truth of the word of God, to have a stand that will walk in the revelation of the truth of his word. A stand that will withstand anything that comes. A stand that will help you to push through every opposition of the enemy. Gird up the loins of your mind with the truth of the word of God. What is the truth of the word of God? The truth of the word of God is that you are more than a conqueror. The truth of the word of God is you are the head and not the tail. The truth of the word of God is you are blessed and highly favored. The truth of the word of God is whatsoever you lay your hands upon must prosper. It says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus. And you know, that grace that works hand in hand, that grace works hand in hand with the truth of the word of God. You remember, the Bible says, look at what it says there. It says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That grace, the grace to persevere, the grace to receive, the grace to be blessed, the grace to walk in every promise that God has made to us, that grace works hand in hand with the truth of the word of God. And both grace and truth came by the revelation of Jesus. Remember what it says in John chapter 1. The word, John 1:14, and the word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of God. And let's read this right. John 1:14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Grace works hand in hand with truth. The grace, the empowerment, grace just means empowerment. The empowerment of God. Right? For every thing that we need to have accomplished in life, for every situation that we need to deal with, for every area of our life, grace is the empowerment of God. Grace works with truth. The grace or the empowerment to have renewed thinking, the grace or the empowerment to be able to think like God works hand in hand with truth. That's why he says there, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The revelation of Jesus brings grace, like he said in Peter, 1 Peter 1:13. The revelation of Jesus brings grace. It brings empowerment. And that empowerment works with truth. Glory to God. See where it says, for the law came through Moses. In this same John 1, it says in verse 16, hallelujah. It says, and of his fullness we have received grace for grace, fullness of grace. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. See, they walk hand in hand. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. They walk hand in hand. The empowerment to have a renewed or a renovated mind. and to enjoy an elevated life comes by way of the truth of the Word of God. That higher quality of life that God has prepared for every one of His children, that higher quality of life is completely intertwined, is only delivered through the avenue of the truth of the Word of God. You remember in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." These three things are intertwined. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. John chapter 14 verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Listen to this. They are all intertwined. When in order to come to the Father, we have to come by way of Jesus. When we come by way of Jesus to the Father, when we come by the way, say, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." When we come through the way, by way of Jesus to the Father, and when we access the truth of the Word of God, then the life of God, the elevated life of God, will be made manifest in our lives. Jesus said, John 14 verse 6, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And the three of them are intertwined. If you don't come by the way, you cannot access the truth. If you don't access the truth, you cannot enjoy the life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And in John 1:14, he says, "For the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father, John chapter 14 verse 6, except by me, but by me. In order to access the elevated life, the good life that the Father has made available for every believer, we must come through the way, Jesus. We must embrace the truth, Jesus, the Word, revelation of divine truth, in order to enjoy the fullness of the life that God has made available, prepared for us. We must come through the way. We must embrace the truth. Hallelujah. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth. We have a lot more to do with this, what we are discussing tonight, beyond just embracing the revelation of the truth, beyond just appreciating the grace that is made available for us to live this empowered life. We must be lovers of the truth. We must be lovers of the truth. The truth of God, the truth must line our lives. Hallelujah. We must not be people that traffic in darkness. We must be lovers of the truth. Let's go read the 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We must be lovers of the truth. If you must build your life on the truth to have or to succeed in this process of renovating your mind. We must be lovers of the truth. The truth is light. That light dispels every darkness. Satan is darkness. God is light. Satan is lie. God is truth. In order for you and I to enjoy the fullness of the blessing of God, we must be fully sold out to the truth. Let's read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We must love truth. We must be sold out to truth. We must be lovers of truth. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden only to them that are lost, in him, in whom the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded, verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In addition to embracing the truth of the word of God, we must be sold out to a life of truth. We must be lovers of truth. Hallelujah. We must be lovers of truth, like our Father is. Right? Darkness is Satan. He's a liar. He traffics in lies, and he operates in darkness. The light is from our Father, represents the truth. If we're going to renovate our minds and succeed at it, like we have been commanded, we must be lovers. We must be lovers of the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. Truth. Hallelujah. If you build your life on the truth of the word of God, you will begin to think like God. We've already gone through so many powerful aspects to what the truth of the word of God will do for us. Let's wind this down. It all boils down. It all boils down to what our mind is established in. When our minds are established in the truth of the word of God, then every promise that has been made, because those promises are based on truth. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot of his word will go unfulfilled. When our minds are established on the truth of the word of God, then it becomes easy for our minds to manifest, to realize the promises that the word of God has made to us. Where he says, as the rain that comes from heaven, that waters the earth, makes it bored forth and bring forth and bored, does not return there, and does not return a void, and so shall my word be. The words that he speaks will never return to him void. Well, the word of God that comes to you will never return to God empty. But the word that comes to you must prosper in the thing that God has sent it to do. Well, why? Because your mind is established in the truth of the word of God. Every man may be a liar, but you know the Bible says God will always be truth. And when you are established in the truth, then you are on God's side. You're on God's side. Like Caleb and Joshua. Let's close out there tonight. Caleb and Joshua in Numbers 13 and 14. I know last week it was, I think, that we talked about Eve and we talked about how she was deceived by the serpent because she was not established in the truth. And we saw the Lord Jesus Christ, who was also approached by this serpent or Satan with his lies. And immediately the Lord Jesus, he saw through it and he cast it down and put it behind him. Why? What was the difference? It was established. His mind was established in the truth of the Word of God. Eve's mind was not really established. It was easy for the serpent to deceive her. Hallelujah. It was easy for the serpent to because if she was established in the truth, and when the Satan said, no, what God said is not true, she would have said, stop right there. Stop right there. God is the author of truth, is the embodiment of truth, is the origin of truth, and Satan is everything about him is lie, is the father of lies. So you are trying to say to me, my God, my Father, our God, lied. Stop right there. That's the end. That's the end of the conversation. She would have closed the meeting right there. She would have hung up the phone right there. She would have walked away. That's his end of conversation. She was established. If she was established in the truth. When you are established in the truth of God is a defender. Hallelujah. In Numbers 13 and 14, when those other spies began to give their evil report, and the congregation was so traumatized by the negative report that they brought, immediately Caleb lifted up his voice. He said, stop, 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 stop. And he says, why? Because he was established in the truth. They started to say, Numbers 13, from verse 28. Yeah, he said, yeah, we came up to the land that you sent to us, verse 27, and surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it, verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land, and went on and on. And right there, Caleb stopped them, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Why? He was established. His mind was established in the truth. When God described him later, the Lord said, Caleb has followed. He had a different spirit, right? He said, Caleb had a different spirit. Why? Because he had followed me fully. What does that mean? He followed me fully. He bought completely into what I said. He bought completely into what I said. Because he did, he was protected from the corruption of the world. But more than that, his life was elevated. He was one of only two that made it to that promised land. And all these millions of people perished in the wilderness, but he was one of only two who made it to the promised land. Why? He was established in the truth. God said about him later, he said, he's followed me. He has followed me fully. He has followed me. But my servant, Numbers 14, verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. He has another spirit. What does that mean? His heart was different. His mind was different. He believed everything that I said. He was completely immersed in the truth of my word. He followed me fully. He had another spirit. Because he had another spirit, because he was established in the truth, he followed God fully. And because he followed God fully, his life was elevated. My friends, let's close tonight. Let's close tonight. Let's believe God. Let's make a commitment in the name of Jesus to fully buy into the truth of the Word of God. To live our lives based on the foundation of the truth of the Word of God. To believe every word God has spoken. To immediately shut down every voice of Satan, knowing that it's a lie. Knowing that whatever he says is a lie because he's the father of lies. Let's commit to walk in truth. Let's be lovers of truth. Hallelujah. Then grace, the empowerment, grace and truth, the empowerment to live a prosperous life. The empowerment to enjoy a higher life, which God has prepared, will be made available to us. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We give you praise. Thank you for your mighty hands upon our lives. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. Thank you for granting us illumination, understanding. Thank you for rekindling within us, oh my goodness, great revelation of your truth. Great revelation of your truth. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. You alone deserve it. Receive it to yourself, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, saints. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Our time is way gone. We've got to stop. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.